Well, I come bearing bad news. Facebook is not what it used to be. And in fact, many churches are probably spending more time than they should trying to live on Facebook as if it's 2009. Well, in this conversation, we're going to break down whether or not it's time for your church to ditch Facebook once and for all. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we're talking about this question. Is it time for your church to ditch Facebook? I'm starting to wonder more and more now, and I want to dive into a little bit, kind of talk out some of my thought process on this and what Facebook is for churches nowadays. Kind of a lay of the land is that you and I, Ian, you know, we're old enough to have been there kind of near the beginning of Facebook. I jumped on, I think, in like 2007, I would guess, or eight that time. And we were heavy users. We were there for the take pictures of all your food era. And we were there for the check-in. You know, Thomas is watching the Avengers or whatever, you know, we would say. We'd do all those things. We were there for it all. And here we find ourselves recording this in 2025. Facebook is a shell of its former self. And I think a lot of our audience, and ourselves included, we've spent more time as our church on Facebook than any other platform. We probably had more traction there than other platforms, but it just isn't what it used to be. So is it time to give up? That's kind of the question we want to wrestle with here today.
And you're right. It's kind of crazy that we've come to this place because, again, doing this as long as we have, consulting churches on how to use Facebook effectively and mm-hmm. other social media, you know, it's just different now than it was a few years back and plus. So, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess we have a few kind of
reasons to leave it behind, right? So we have like the reasons to maybe leave it behind. And then reasons where we believe it's still effective, right? So we'll dig into those, Thomas. So I guess reason to leave it behind, number one, would be, is it really showing posts as much to people?
No, it's not.
From a church, right? Yeah.
So Facebook has been through so many iterations, and the big challenge here for it is that it's... it went from a place where if you had people that followed or liked your organization, your church, then you can reasonably expect that if they got onto Facebook, they would see anything that you posted. And the reality is today that even if you have thousands of likes on your Facebook page, and we've done this, like the rate of people that will actually see your posts is less than half of 1%. And that's people that like your church. So if you have 1,000 people that like your church, you can expect less than 5 people to see any one of your regular posts that you put on there, right? So like, just think about that. Like, less than half of 1% is what we're talking about. So it really has, the returns have diminished so much that it just really doesn't make sense for most churches specifically to do regular posts. So when I talk about that,
put all their eggs in the basket too. Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a time where like you could do a scripture post and you know, people would like, oh, I love that. It's a great scripture. It's designed nicely. Now less than
that's
5
my life
people
verse.
We'll see it. Yeah. Right. And then like, you know, just church updates. What definitely doesn't work is kind of event broadcasting or like advertising type things, talking about upcoming events or your upcoming sermon series. Those things really don't work right now. There is a little bit of room when it comes to Facebook Reels, but in our experience, like the performance on Reels is much greater on something like Instagram, and then, you know, not to mention YouTube Shorts and TikTok, than it is on Facebook. So it's like a distant fourth when it comes to short form vertical video on things. But yeah, to answer that question, Facebook just does not show your posts to people anymore. When it does, it's people that are not necessarily people that follow your organization. It's people that are out there, which is nothing wrong with that. But it just isn't anything like what it used to be with that.
So then that leads to the next question is, has it aged out?
Yeah, I think by this, like what we mean, it's aged out in a couple of ways. Yes, it's become like it's old at this point now, but also just the thing, and this isn't necessarily bad, but the user base of Facebook is dramatically older. So if I was to put like a generation on each social media platform, I would say that Facebook is for like your later Gen X and boomers. I would say Instagram is for your younger Gen X and millennials. I would say that TikTok is for your Gen Z. And then I would say all of them, but especially Generation Alpha, you know, kids that are under 15 or something like that now, YouTube is the spot for them. So that's where what they're using primarily. So most churches to this day have this commitment where we ask a church, like, who are you trying to reach at your church? What do they say, Ian? What's the most common response to who is your church?
Millennials or younger, the next generation.
But, they don't. But we always have said young families, right? Young families is what people say, right?
Yes,
and
course,
so young families are all like younger millennials and Gen Z. I think we miss this sometimes that millennials are in their mid 40s now. Like, so the older millennials, they're what would be called very deep geriatric pregnancies if they're having babies now, right? So. Like really what your target is all of Gen Z the younger half of millennials. That's what young families look like right now when you're targeting them. So if that's who our goal is to reach them, Facebook is not where they are. They're on other platforms, Instagram and TikTok primarily. So just take that into consideration. I think that people have kind of aged out from the primary target of churches in that area. It's not to say that they're not valuable. We love boomers and we love Greatest Generation and we love Gen Xers. You are a mid-Gen Xer, I know, Ian, at your age.
No, still an early Gen Xer. Don't hit me with that brush. So, born a couple of days before 79. So there you go. Anyway, yeah.
Isn't it funny how we like all made fun of millennials for like two decades and now it's like, ooh, I don't want to be Gen X. Anyway, so I don't be that old guy that's Gen X there.
Now we want to be cool with the millennials. So there you go.
Exactly.
But good deal. And this next one here is interesting. Now you're competing with an algorithm and losing. So what do we mean by that?
So just like we were saying in the first one, just that the algorithm is extremely aggressive and it does not seem to give really any bent towards people that already like your organization. It is completely driven by kind of the discovery algorithm, as people would call it, where it's just trying to match people that are interested with interesting content. And so it's not necessarily going to show things to people that are in your area or interested in your church specifically. But if you put out content that is interesting to people that Facebook thinks are interested in content your church is making, it'll match you up. And that is a challenge for churches because you're primarily looking for a local audience that maybe would be at least familiar with your church. We'd love people in our church and outside of our church, but reaching people that are in Poland, if you're in Oregon, really doesn't actually help your church make an impact. Like, we love Polish people. Maybe there's a mission opportunity there, and that's great, but it's just not really your primary target of who you're best able to reach as a church.
That's good. That's good. So, and the next one would be you're basically live streaming or live video. It still works, but not forever, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't work as well as it used to. Like, we're seeing huge diminishing returns on this too. So it used to be this was the primary place that churches were posting their live video.
Especially after the pandemic or during, yeah. So
right, but I think it's long ago, like a few years at least now, YouTube has blown Facebook out of the water when it comes to the reach of live video. You'll be much better off on YouTube than you would be on Facebook. There's a lot of reasons why. One of the best things about the YouTube platform is that content, even if it's live video, it then lives on, and that same live service that you published, we recommend that you clip out the worship and the announcements and those things, but you leave the sermon and you have a piece of content that will get views for years to come because the sermon will still be valuable in the future also. So so we're looking at the analytics on this. It has fallen off a cliff, the reach for live video on Facebook. You know, if you've built a really consistent audience, it probably makes sense to keep it, but just we expect those results to continue to diminish. And so just kind of prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, no, well said. And we are seeing that for sure. So next one is privacy and trust are real concerns now. And I mean, have been for a little bit, I would say.
Yeah, I think that they have been. And I think people just are, more and more people are leaving Facebook. And I think it's, that's one of the main reasons why. I think that, like, when I talk to younger people specifically, there is some privacy and trust concerns. I think that they really have to have a compelling reason to get onto a social platform and to get over those privacy and trust concerns. And so Facebook has a couple of really kind of killer apps or killer features that other ones don't have that actually are keeping people engaged. I think the big ones are, the biggest one I've found is Facebook Marketplace. Like, so my children have Facebook accounts exclusively for Facebook Marketplace. So my son, you're not allowed to have it until you're 18 technically, but he kind of he made some changes and got a Facebook account. So when he was like 15, so he could buy and sell, you know, things like video games or a bike that he had, that kind of stuff. So it is valuable, and that's something that no other social platform has. It does have that local bent there. That's really valuable. But
they beat out Craigslist finally.
They certainly did for that. Yeah, I just think there's a accountability that comes with it. So yeah, so, but I think just without those compelling reasons, there's not good reasons to get onto the platform. And so I think I don't have like any, I don't think it's necessarily any better than, certainly TikTok's privacy concerns are enormous and Instagram's are the exact same as Facebook because it's the same company. But I think it just, people aren't willing to get over the hump of signing up for an account to add one more privacy concern to their lives. So they'll just do without it.
Yep. And last but not least, as far as reasons to possibly ditch it, is that it's now pretty much pay to play, right?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, if you want to reach your audience, you can still do it, but it is only if you're willing to pay for it.
Yeah.
So, and that actually, we can kind of pivot to the...
It's a segue, right? To where it can be useful still, right?
Where, so, yeah, so you have to pay for it, and that's a segue, you know, like you're saying, to it works if you're willing to pay for it. So... And I could make a case for this, honestly. Like, so especially for a church that's pretty established, I think that, like, if you have thousands of followers on Facebook, there was a time I know at my church where we were running Facebook ads to gain likes, to gain Facebook followers. So it saddens me that we spent money for something that is so useless now. But maybe you're a church that, like, has been on Facebook for a decade or since, you know, for 15 years or something like that. Then yeah, like if you have thousands of likes and follows on there, like it might make sense to throw a few dollars at some of those Facebook posts that you put out there in order to reach people. And there are still people that are on the platform. It still exists. People do use it. Again, it does skew a little bit older. But if you're willing to, like, let's say if we have a, especially for things like event promotion, let's say, if you're willing to promote an event and, you know, throw $10 at it even, that can make a pretty big reach. You can reach hundreds, if not a few thousand people for as little as $10. And while it kind of pains me because that used to be free, like that is a reliable way to reach people for a relatively low cost. So it might be something you consider doing. So I do like it for that. And I'll just go ahead and say the other kind of one caveat that I think still is useful to churches is for Facebook groups. And this is so funny because, like, we've been in Facebook for so long, Ian, like you and I were coaching churches on how to use Facebook, you know, back in 2007, I think we were doing it. And back then there was a debate on whether churches should use pages or groups for their Facebook presence. And the answer then was a very clear, have a Facebook page.
Page,
like that's how
right,
you
yeah.
reach people. Groups were much more narrow.
Right.
Right. That's what groups are for. Now, I think it's the absolute opposite, that there actually is still value in Facebook groups. There's almost no value in Facebook pages anymore. And the thing about Facebook groups is that they still kind of function the way that Facebook pages used to, is that if you post something in a group, you will, like, it'll be shown to lots of people that are in your group because they've already kind of given permission and said, I want to be a part of this here. So If your church is going to use Facebook still, I would highly recommend that you establish a Facebook group to go along with your Facebook page. And from there, you start to kind of have conversations. Now, there are some cautions on that, is that you have less control over what other people say. People can post things as groups, and you'll need only a few specific moderators to get in there and kind of give their feedback on stuff. So you don't have the same level of control, but I do think it is a good spot to actually kind of reach more people and have a broader reach on Facebook. So if I was going to use Facebook still as a church, I would focus on Facebook groups. But here's the reality, to kind of put a bow on all of this, I would demote Facebook. I'm not saying it's time to necessarily, like, you have to just stop ever posting on it or just delete your account. But if you're going to use it, I would make it only after you've invested everything you can in social platforms in this order. Number one is YouTube. That is far and away the most valuable platform for churches right now. We are unique in that we're making content every single week as a church. We're usually doing video of sermons, and that is really great for platforms like YouTube, and it'll live on forever, and it's just really valuable. After that, I would say Instagram is in number two. That is still kind of like the, I think both Gen Z and millennials use it very heavily. And it is kind of still the, it's the social platform of record. When you want to make a big announcement, whether you're Gen Z or you're Gen X or millennial, you'll probably do it primarily on Instagram. You may also share it to Facebook, but Instagram is going to be your primary. The third position would be TikTok, I think, at this point. And there's all, that's with all the, like when we're recording this, all the China questions, will it get bought out? Will it get shut down? There's so many questions. I still think it's more valuable than Facebook, even given all that right now. And then in a distant fourth, I would put Facebook, which does put it above things like X. It does put it above things like LinkedIn or Pinterest and that kind of stuff. It's above Be Real for me still and some of those other ones.
Forgot about that one. Yeah.
But I guess my encouragement to you is that max out your investment and the time you're spending on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok first. And then Facebook would be, if you've done everything you need to do on those channels, then I would look to Facebook. So I'm not going to be surprised if people disagree with me on this. I imagine that there's some individuals out there or maybe some churches that's still their primary platform. I would love to hear from you if that's the case. Drop us a comment down below. Let us know how Facebook is working for you. If you disagree, great. If you agree with me, let me know. But I want to know your take. Is it time for, has your church ditched Facebook? And is it time for you to maybe consider doing that? Let us know down in the comments.
I'd love to hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. So hope this has been helpful to you. This is kind of the way we're thinking about stuff right now. If it has been helpful, it would mean a lot to me if you would drop, like I said, one of those comments, hit us a like, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel here. Thanks guys for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See ya.